Let's turn to Matthew chapter 6. We'll begin reading at verse 17 and read through verse 33. This places us in the Great Sermon on the Mount that you find recorded in Matthew 5, 6, and 7. And we're going to focus our attention this morning on verse 33. Jesus instructing the crowds, beginning at verse 17. Let's try verse 19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness! No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. That's earthly riches. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought. And of course, that means don't worry. Take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. So far we read God's holy, inspired word. Now verse 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. As I said, this appears in Jesus' great Sermon on the Mount, the theme of which is the kingdom of God and its righteousness. In the verses we read, Jesus exhorts the people not to worry. Don't worry asking, what are we going to eat? What are we going to drink? How will we be clothed? Don't worry about those things, he says, and then he gives three reasons why we ought not to be worrying. First of all, he says worrying doesn't help. With all the worry in the world, can you add one cubit to your stature? The second thing is, God knows your needs, and he will meet your needs. Doesn't he clothe the grass, the flowers of the field? Doesn't he feed the birds? Aren't you of much more value than them? If he feeds them and clothes them, how much more won't he feed and clothe you? And the third reason we are not to worry about these earthly things, says Jesus, is because worry over them indicates that we seek them as the Gentiles do. That's verse 32. After talking about all these things we're not to worry about, he says, for after all these things do the Gentiles seek. And because they seek them, they worry about them. And we mustn't be like that. And now in the verse we consider this morning, which is well known to all of us, we have the contrast. Don't seek these things as do the Gentiles. Rather, seek ye first the kingdom of God and seek the righteousness of God. That should be our focus. And then he adds a promise. Those who by faith seek the kingdom and seek God's righteousness have this promise, God your Father will add all these things to you as you need them, what you will eat, what you will drink, what you shall wear, where you shall live. He will add them to you. This passage was chosen by my consistory and First Church for family visitation this year. And it's proved a very interesting and relevant passage. As we go through this, I want you to think and evaluate each his own life and each family, your own family perspective. What am I seeking? What are we seeking? Have we fallen into the trap of seeking the things of this earth? Or are we seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness? Let's look at that. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. The first point is the object of the seeking. What should we seek? Secondly, the meaning. What does it mean to seek the kingdom and God's righteousness? And finally, the promise given to those who seek. All these things shall be added to you. Jesus says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. So let's just start on that concept, the kingdom of God. What is the kingdom of God? That's a very important concept. That's the theme of the whole Sermon on the Mount. And all of Jesus' parables are spoken to illustrate the various realities of the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven. But what is that kingdom? I've struggled with that in my ministry. Professor Engelsma, who has been a member of my congregation, said, you know, in the PRC, we've done a good job of understanding what the covenant is and what the church is, but we've not done much to develop the idea of the kingdom. And I have to admit that through my ministry, I've struggled. What specifically is the kingdom? Well, this morning, I'll give you the fruit of 40 years of struggle. What is the kingdom? The kingdom of God is the gracious rule of Jesus Christ over the elect church. A kingdom requires two things. First of all, it requires a nation of people that are unified by some common bond. Usually, it's of natural origin. The nation of Israel was a nation that came out of the loins of Jacob or Israel, and that's what unified them. In our day, many nations are unified by the territory in which they live. The United States of America, this nation, doesn't come from just one biological source. We're a mixing pot here. But we share one land together. We're a nation. The next thing that is required for a kingdom is to have a king, or a political leader, or a government that rules this nation. Then you've got a kingdom. In the Old Testament time, you had the nation of Israel, a people that came from Jacob or Esau, and God gave them a king, Saul, David, and then from the house of David. They were a kingdom. We find the same thing in the kingdom of God. There is a great and glorious nation that comprises the kingdom of God. And that glorious nation is the church. What does 1 Peter 2 verse 9 say? Ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar or special people, that ye should show forth the praises of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Notice, a chosen generation, that's election, called out of darkness into God's light. That's the saving call that brings the elect to faith in Jesus Christ. And they are formed that way. That's the church, by the way. The church in the original means the called out ones. That's what you, we are. We are the called out ones from this world unto Christ. And the called out ones, the church, is identified as a holy nation. We're talking here about the church universal, the sum total of God's elect from all history. This church universal is a nation, and that her members all have the same spiritual origin and birth. They are all born again in the power of Jesus Christ. And that's what unites us as a nation. And the Bible calls us a holy nation. Holy means set apart from all other peoples. No, this nation today is not to be identified with any political nation. Not the United States of America, not Israel back in the Holy Lands. This nation is to be found among all the nations of the world. Because you see, it's a spiritual nation. And what sets apart the spiritual nation from everyone else is that her members belong to Jesus Christ. And in Jesus Christ, they are born again to a new life of friendship and fellowship with the living God and to one another, that no one else outside of Christ can enjoy. And we here today, we're one little small part of this grand nation of which the Bible speaks. And over that great nation, Jesus Christ rules. He attained the position of king after His death on the cross and His exaltation into heaven. Seated at God's right hand, crowned with glory and honor and king. Now, in a certain sense, Jesus Christ is king over the whole world, the whole universe, and rules it on behalf of God. He rules even over the devil and the ungodly who don't belong to Him spiritually. That's not what we're talking about here today. He rules in a special way over the elect church, for whom He gave His life, for whom He earned their salvation. Over the world generally, He rules by His power. And He smashes to pieces those who will not bow the knee to Him. But with the church, He rules graciously, benevolently, and by the power of His Word and the power of the Holy Spirit that applies that Word, He irresistibly transforms the elect of God into His people by a new birth so that they are given a new and blessed life that no other people have. We are the kingdom of God under Christ. Now, to understand that kingdom more clearly, we have to take the next phrase. The kingdom of God and His righteousness. His righteousness. Righteousness is a virtue whereby one complies completely and perfectly with what is right. And for us, that's God's law. That's righteousness. Now, sometimes when the Bible speaks of the righteousness of God, it talks about a virtue of God, whereby He, in all that He does, acts completely in harmony with the goodness of His being. But that's not what we're talking about here. The righteousness of God is the righteousness that God gives to His people freely in Jesus Christ. That's the righteousness of God. And there's two parts to this. And if we're really going to understand what it means to seek the kingdom, we've got to get this. This is important. With the righteousness of God, there's first of all a legal aspect and then a spiritual aspect. Legally, righteousness is this. As we stand in God's courtroom, like we do every day, and one day in the day of judgment, we stand before Him. Righteousness is a verdict of God our judge, who sees all, knows all, and He says, I don't find any sin in you. Even though we stand before Him with filthy rags, He says, I don't find any sin in you. As far as I'm concerned, everything I require of you has been met. You are righteous. That's my verdict. That's called justification. Now you ask, how in the wide world can we ever receive a favorable verdict like that? And the answer is in Jesus Christ. God took the sins of you and me and all of His people and laid them on Christ and punished Christ in our place. And then Christ also walked in perfect obedience for us, an obedience we never could attain. And in Christ, we stand perfectly righteous before God, and that's His verdict. That, first of all, is the verdict, the righteousness of God in this passage. Amazing. But then there's another aspect of righteousness, and that is, how do you live? Now we're not talking about God's verdict, but how do you live? How do you live today? In your marriage, in your home, in your schooling, in the workplace, in your community. Are you obeying God? We read the law this morning. Don't do this, don't do that. At bottom, love God and love your neighbor. And that implies all kinds of positive responsibilities. Righteousness also is righteous living. And if God in Jesus Christ will declare you righteous before Him and say, I see no sin in you, He will also transform you and empower you to begin to live righteously in every part of your life. What a blessing that is. What a blessing that we can stand in Christ before God and He says, I don't see any sin in you. The more I talk to the older folks in my congregation, well, I don't have one anymore. This is the first Sunday I'm retired. And it's not so great, except I'm here with you. But when I had a congregation, the older people especially marveled. Look at my life of sin. And I don't have any sin before God. I'm righteous in Christ. Amazing. My sins of youth, my sins of my whole life. And God doesn't see them or reckon me as a sinner. What a blessing. And then, on that basis, we're given the right to be delivered from the tyranny of sin. Again, the more you mature in your faith, the more you see that sin is a terrible, terrible thing. And the joys of sin are so short-lived.
And what a blessing to be delivered from the power of Satan and sin to live a new life in obedience to God. That's the righteousness of God here. Now, that righteousness of God is the key to understanding the kingdom. Because the kingdom of God is a kingdom of righteousness. That's the point of Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount. Let's look at that legal aspect of righteousness, justification. That favorable verdict of God in Christ. I don't see any sin in you. You're perfectly righteous before me. That gives us citizenship in the kingdom. If you stand before God with so much as one sin, there's no place for you in His kingdom. You're outside. You'll not enjoy the blessings of the kingdom. You will perish in your sins. But when you and I stand in Christ, righteous before God, that's our citizenship. That gives us the right of citizenship in the kingdom. And what about the other aspect of this righteousness? The privilege of righteous living? That's the life of the kingdom. Every kingdom has to have laws. The United States has laws. If we're going to live together in this country, we've got to abide by the laws. The government enforces the laws. And it's set by God to reward the good and to punish the evil. Well, the kingdom has laws too, doesn't it? And we just read that law this morning. The Ten Commandments. And the life of the kingdom is a life of righteousness, whereby in Christ we are able at least to begin to live according to all these commandments. Loving God, loving our neighbor. And the beautiful thing is that what we're able now in Christ to do imperfectly, one day we will do perfectly in glory. Then the kingdom will be complete. And so the kingdom, the righteous kingdom of God, your righteousness in Christ is your citizenship. Your ability to live according to the law and righteousness is the life of the kingdom. Now the Word of God says, seek. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. To seek here means to aim at, to strive for. You know, that's what you do for those things that are important to you. What things are important to you? If they're important to you, you'll strive for them. You'll seek to attain them and to enjoy them. The more important these things are, the more you'll strive. And the more you're willing to sacrifice. Because that's what you want. We're all seeking something, aren't we? We're all striving. We're all sacrificing for something that's very important to us. In the preceding verses, Jesus speaks of the Gentiles who seek what they shall eat and what they shall drink and what they shall wear. The Gentiles here in Jesus' day were the pagans who had not the grace of God, who were left by God according to His decree of reprobation in the depravity of their sin, fallen, unregenerate. And these Gentiles sought in their depravity, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Wherewithal shall we be clothed? Food, drink, and clothing here represent all earthly things needed to provide for our physical needs, and it also includes the abundance of these things to give us a comfortable, enjoyable life
here on the earth. For these things the Gentiles labored with all their energy. Jesus warns in verse 19, lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth. That's what they were doing. That was the most important thing to them. They were willing to sacrifice for these things. They sacrificed their animals. They sacrificed their slaves. They even sacrificed their children to their gods so that the gods would look favorably upon them and bless them with earthly things. And because they sought these things, they worried about them. Are we going to have enough? Enough to eat, enough to drink. They worry because they sought these things. You know, something's not important to you, you don't seek it, you don't worry about it. But they sought it. They worried about it. And doesn't that describe our society? We are a materialistic society where physical abundance has become the most important thing. There's very few in our society that really have to scramble, what am I going to eat today? That's the case in other societies, third world countries. God in His providence has given us abundance. But that's what our society seeks. Not just food and drink and clothing and shelter, but abundance. That's how you measure a person's worth. That's how you fix problems. Sue and go to court, get more money. And we worry about it. Our society worries. Do we have enough? He has more than I have. That's the result of the depravity of the fall. By the contrast, verse 19, the Gentiles seek this, but you seek first the kingdom. Jesus means to say, don't seek these things. That's what the unregenerate do. Don't make these things the focus of your life. If you do, then you identify yourself with the ungodly, unregenerate world around you. Don't seek those things. Now, we'll put that in proper balance in a moment. But don't make that the focus of your life. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. That means two things. That means, first of all, seek citizenship in the kingdom. In my church, first church, there was a woman who was a Filipino. She still is. But she had her citizenship in the Philippines. She sought, and it took a lot of work, to become a citizen of the United States. Well, you see, Jesus here is addressing the crowd before the kingdom actually came into being. And He says, when that kingdom comes, you seek citizenship in it. We say the same thing to those who are without Christ. You should seek citizenship in the kingdom of Christ. Don't be content just being citizen of this country. And to seek first the kingdom also addresses us who are citizens in Christ. Because we're justified in Christ. Seek to maintain your citizenship. Now ultimately you can't lose it. Because of God's persevering grace. But seek to maintain that citizenship. And to seek the kingdom means, and seek to live the life of that kingdom, which is a life of righteous obedience and service to God in love and to your neighbor. Seek the kingdom. And of course, that requires that you seek the righteousness of God. The favorable verdict of God. You're righteous before me in Christ. Grant you the citizenship. Maintain that.
The other aspect of righteousness, spiritual living according to the law, is the life of the kingdom. Seek that. Seek it. And that means, of course, that we have to live by faith. How do you and I obtain and enjoy the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ? How do we receive a favorable verdict where God says, for Christ's sake, you're righteous before me? Only by faith. We're justified by faith alone without works. How is it that we are able to live in Christ, the righteous living of the kingdom? Only by faith. And let's talk about that faith specifically. What kind of faith are we talking about? We're talking about a true faith that leads you and me to a godly sorrow of sin. Are you sorry for your sins? Because you've offended God? Because you have hurt your neighbor? Not sorry because you made a fool of yourself or you brought bad things upon yourself. No, are you sorry for the right reason? A sorrow after God. That's what faith produces. Are you repentant? Have you had a change of mind about your sin? A change of heart. I don't want that anymore. I want to do the right thing. Are you willing to confess your sins? There are some people, even in the church, you can hardly drag a confession out of them. That's not faith. Faith readily confesses sin, acknowledges wrong, takes responsibility before God and before the neighbor. And faith brings the sinner to God, clinging to the cross. With that confession and that sorrow, seeking forgiveness in the covering of the cross, Father, forgive me. And count me righteous in Christ. That's faith. And when God responds, as He always does to true faith in Christ, with forgiveness and reconciliation, then faith is thankful and overwhelmed with gratitude and stands before the law and says, this is how I want to. I want to live this way instead of that other way. But knows I can't do that on my own strength. It took me a long time to learn that, but that's the way it is. And so faith leads you back to your knees, to God, seeking the grace and the power of Christ to lead you into a new life of righteous obedience. That's how we obtain that faith. Seek the righteousness of God by faith to maintain your citizenship in the kingdom and to live the life of the kingdom. And of course, that faith does not arise out of us, does it? Even that faith is a gift of God, worked irresistibly by the Holy Spirit, maintained by the irresistible work of the Holy Spirit and the Word. And so if you're going to really be serious about seeking the kingdom of God and His righteousness, then you've got to use the means that the Holy Spirit employs to work faith in us, to strengthen our faith, and to bring us to Christ. It starts here, with the Word that's preached. When you come here to hear the preaching of the Word, you're seeking the kingdom. And you must study this Word and meditate upon it. And there's the sacraments. Seek them. Use them. And in your home, in private life, in family life, meditate upon God's Word. Pray. Pray for yourself. Pray for each other. And seek the fellowship of the saints. Your faith cannot survive, cannot be healthy if you pull away from your fellow saints. You simply can't maintain your faith. The Holy Spirit uses all these means
centered around the preaching, to maintain our faith, and to bring us on our knees in prayer to God, to find the righteousness of God in Christ, so that we maintain our citizenship in the kingdom and are able to live the life of the kingdom. And Jesus says, seek that first. Seek it first. Not second, not third, first. And he does not mean by that, well, you have the kingdom here, seek that. And seek that more than other things. You know, I want a nice life living. I want to have a good business. I want to be able to take trips and have all these joys and recreation when I'm young. That's an important thing. I love to play ball. So, okay, seek the kingdom and do that more than these things. That's not what he says. He says, in everything you do, be seeking the kingdom. We have many things that fill our lives, don't we? Eating and drinking, sleeping, work, recreation, vacations, schooling, marriage, raising a family, retiring. A long, long list of things we do. In everything you do, be seeking the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Seek by faith to lay hold of the righteousness that is in Christ, to maintain your citizenship in the kingdom and to live the life of the kingdom. So how are we doing? I told you we have to examine ourselves, don't we? How are we doing? What are we seeking? Well, let's ask that one more time at the end of this sermon. The final point is the promise given to our seeking. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. All these things obviously refer to what shall we drink? What shall we wear? What shall we eat? Jesus does not underestimate the importance of food and drink and clothing, as well as all the earthly things that the body needs. In fact, Jesus even says, your Father knows that you have need of all these things. These are things we need. We need to live the life of the kingdom. The responsibilities that God places upon us as citizens of the kingdom to live the life, the righteous life of the kingdom, ordinarily requires that we have enough to eat, that we're clothed, that we're sheltered. There's a lot of things we need if we're going to live the life of the kingdom on this earth. But as important as they are, Jesus says they are only additions. Just additions. God will add those things to those who seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. To add means to add something to someone who already possesses. To add to what you already possess. It suggests that those who seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness by faith will acquire it. Jesus goes on in this sermon, chapter 7, dealing with prayer, verses 7 and 8, and says, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you, for everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and he that knocketh it shall be opened. Those who truly by faith seek the kingdom and the righteousness of that kingdom will find it. Doesn't make any difference who you are, what your nationality is, how sordid your life may have been, how many mistakes you have made. Those who truly seek the kingdom will find it and be citizens and will begin to live the life of the kingdom in great blessing and joy. Food and drink and clothing are only additions. They're not the important things. They're only extras. The key is, do you possess citizenship in the kingdom? Do you live the life of the kingdom? Those who do, and of course, we know that behind that stands the sovereign good pleasure of God as He works His election. Nevertheless, those who seek the kingdom, and they'll find it, well, God will give to them what they need as far as earthly necessities are concerned. God knows your needs. He knows what you need. He knows better what you need than you need, than what you know. We often have a list of things we need, don't we? And God goes through that list and He says, no, you really don't need that. And if I gave you this, it would hinder your place in the kingdom. It would distract you. That's not going to promote your living the life of the kingdom. You don't need that. Just like us parents sometimes have to tell our teenagers and children that. No, you don't need that. It's going to get in your way. But what each of us needs to fill our place in the kingdom, our place of service, God says, I will give it to you. Now, He doesn't rain it out of heaven like He rained manna to Israel in the wilderness. Those were special circumstances. He calls you to work. Let him that stole steal no more, but let him work with his hands the things that is good, that he may have to give to them that needeth. Ephesians 4:28. Young people, go to school. Learn so that you may be productive in your adult years, whether in the workaday world as men or in the home. Learn. Learn to manage well what God has given to you and will give you. But you work and you manage wisely and God will provide, sometimes in amazing ways, what you need to eat and to drink, and a roof over your head, that you may serve faithfully in the kingdom. But those things are only additions. They're not primary. They're secondary. Let's make them secondary in our lives. And let's set before us the kingdom of God, the righteousness that's in Christ. That lasts forever. Earthly things, they wear out, they perish, they're going to one day be destroyed. They're only useful for the short time you're here on the earth. Put it in perspective. The kingdom. Now your citizenship in the kingdom and the life of the kingdom, that's forever. That's meaning. That's purpose in life. That's eternal joy. Seek first the kingdom and His righteousness. I look at my life. I see in my own life the new man of Christ, recreated by the Holy Spirit. And according to that, I seek the kingdom, I delight in the kingdom. But I still have that old sinful flesh. That old man of sin that still wants everything here. And you've got the same thing, don't you? By the power of God's Word, by the power of the Word this morning, put off that old man. Every day get up and put him off and put on the new man of Christ and seek the kingdom to God's glory. Amen. Father in heaven, we thank Thee for Thy Word. We pray, O God, bless what we have heard today and lead us, O God, in true faith, in the power of the Word and Spirit, to seek in everything we do the kingdom and Thy righteousness. This we ask for Jesus' sake. Amen.